I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Weber?
Here.
Councilmember Pepper?
Present.
So this basically is a meeting to discuss comp plan amendments and ask questions of Barb if you have them. And if you get up to speak in the town hall format, it's 10 minutes the first time you get up to speak and 3 minutes after everybody else gets a chance to speak once, then you can speak 3 minutes after that. So is there anybody wishing to get up and speak? Dave.
Thank you.
One of them may not work. Okay.
Check. Works. Let's see, Dave Amber from Lake 12. Let's see, one thing I'd like to hear from people tonight is... my thoughts on the comp plan have been submitted and written out and everything, but one thing I'd like to hear from people tonight that showed up are specifics about what they're looking for and not so much generalizations. Things like, small and rural are just too vague in general. I'd like to hear specifics from people on, what kind of look they want in the city. Do they want 24-hour stores? Do they want traffic lights every 100 feet? Do they want a city lit up like a Christmas tree all night long? More detail than just vague general things like. Active and beautiful. So that's what I'm hoping to hear from people tonight are what they specifically would like the vision of the city to be looking forward.
Thank you. Is there Kristen?
Just wanted to ask a question about the order, because maybe I'm confused by the agenda. Is the presentation on the comp plan, I thought Ms. Kincaid was going to speak, and then there'd be more time for comments, or is this the only time for comments?
Well, this is the time for comments. Were you planning on getting up and...
Yes, I have. The way that I'm going to run this is with an exchange, question and answer, and dialogue.
Okay. It wasn't, we... You can do it however you want, Barb. So if you want to get up and... Yeah.
It's kind of like open mic.
Yeah. I'm hoping that this is going to be a really informal discussion that we can have. So first of all, let me... My three objectives.
I speak plenty loud, I'm sure, but so you question me about what's going on, you know, how is this going to work? I'm hoping that we can do that in this first, kind of the first Q&A. The second part is I've got questions for you. So I prepared a handout sheet with questions, and Dave, you'd think Dave and I had rehearsed this. You know, and I think just to kind of keep the free flow thing going, if people just want to ask questions or talk, let me just bring the microphone to you instead of tromping back and forth. I think that makes for a little bit easier discussion.
Hey, Barb. So you handed out things for the folks to fill out.
They're questions, not to fill out. You need some too.
Okay. I just don't know if it was something that they would take with them and maybe bring back. Or.
I think I have that. Okay.
Thank you.
So, for starters, what is a comp plan? Why is it important? Those kinds of questions. So, my first thing is who here knows what a comp plan is? Just show of hands. Because I don't want to waste your time explaining something that you probably already know. How many of those people that know what the comp plan is have read Black Diamond's comp plan? Good. That's great. So a comprehensive plan is a land use plan. It's basically a policy document. It's a roadmap, so to speak. We refer to it as a roadmap. Comprehensive planning is just like it sounds. It takes into account the whole picture of a city or county. And really, in the state of Washington, we have a state law, Growth Management Act, that that requires Black Diamond to have a comprehensive plan. So, and that plan needs to be a living, breathing document. So it needs to be edited and amended from time to time as needed. And right now we're in a cycle of what's an update. Every year comprehensive plans can be amended, one time a year. So we have an amendment process. But then periodically there needs to be a wholesale update required. And so we're in that wholesale update process right now. And really, the purpose of doing this update, from the state's perspective, is to get us to really update things and look at what may have changed since we adopted our last plan, which was in 2009, what may have changed, and make sure that if we need to take a right turn or a left turn on our roadmap, we're doing that, because you don't just put these kinds of policies in place and expect that they're going to work magnificently for eternity, because we know that they don't. Things change. And so that's why we're working on that right now. So does anybody have any questions about? I don't want to get down into too much nitty-gritty unless you want me to. So basically what's in a comp plan, I said it's a land use plan and it's comprehensive. It's composed of chapters: natural environment chapter, a land use chapter, a transportation chapter, a housing chapter, capital facilities, utilities, and economic development. Also the shoreline management plan, which I think probably a lot of you participated a few years ago when the city adopted that. That's part of the comp plan also. So what you're going to see as we roll out the draft amended plan in all these chapters. You're going to see an introduction and the vision statement for the city. I printed out one here and one there for people to get up later and look at, and we've got questions about the vision statement and that handout I gave you. The vision statement is this big, this big ideal about what in 20 years this city would like to see itself, how it would like to see itself be. And that big idea is really what you build from. So everything below that vision statement is, it breaks down into goals that are broad and overarching. And I did print out what we have so far in these overarching goals. Then each chapter has, it's topical, so your natural environment is a subject, a specific subject. All these chapters, specific subjects, have goals and policies that are specific to each area that you're talking about in the chapter. So they all have to fit together. And not only do they have to all fit together consistently and internally inside the document, but they also have to fit together and be consistent with the state Growth Management Act laws, because the Growth Management Act has specific planning policies or goals that we're trying to achieve. And we also have a regional body, the Puget Sound Regional Council, and we must be regionally consistent with what we're planning for. So we have local discretion, but that local discretion nests within a bigger, broader landscape. So any questions on that? Please. Oh, thank you very much. So King County planning policies are, I don't want to get too down in the weeds, but the way originally the Growth Management Act has counties as the, had kind of counties as the first sort of regional body. And the counties and the cities in those counties got together and they planned, did countywide policies, and part of that was the urban growth area and the expansion area. So that's absolutely right. That's another piece. We look at those King County planning policies for consistency also. And they're nested in with the Puget Sound Regional. So just think about those Russian dolls and how they all nest together. And we might be the small one inside there, but we're the nugget, right? So the process for doing comp plan is, first of all, in this update, we, the city staff, looked at the things that the state and county and Puget Sound Council, Regional Council, PSRC, the things that they said to us have changed, laws that have changed, and things that we needed to do to bring ours up to speed to be consistent with new laws. That's one thing. They provide a checklist. We went through checklists. And then we collect our own demographic data, and we look at trends, things like population, educational attainment, employment, all of these different demographic and, you know, socioeconomic sort of data points, and we look to see, is there something new that's happening that we need to address in this update? Do we need some different policies to address something new that's occurring and likely to continue to occur into the future? And the reason why you do that is because the comprehensive plan is, it informs how you're going to grow, how you're going to develop, how you're going to actually financially support this growth and development. And so if you don't know, for example, that, and I think we hear about this a lot in the news, the population, the baby boomers are all getting older. the population is aging. Our young working force is diminishing, and that is that's something that's occurring, and we need to think about, like, well, what does that mean for us, money, fiscally? How are we going to plan for that? So those are the kinds of things that we're talking about in that particular data set. So right now, you know, we've started to gather data, started to do some data analysis, having some of those discussions, putting together draft chapters, holding joint planning commission and city council workshops just on these working draft chapters. And after that's done and we have a complete draft, we will go out to get more public input on that whole draft in an open meeting, and take that information back, edit the plan, the draft plan as needed based on that input, and then when we feel like we've got it in a pretty good final draft form, it will come to the Planning Commission. So the draft plan goes to the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission holds public hearings. And at that time, then people again come in and they tell the Planning Commissioners what they think needs to be changed in the draft that they're reading and why. And so after that process takes place, and the Planning Commission will edit as they see fit based on that input, then they make a recommendation to adopt the plan in whatever form it is at that point, and it goes to City Council. And the City Council also holds hearings and goes through the same process until, in the end, City Council will adopt this plan. So we were supposed to have our comprehensive plan under the state law adopted in June, last June 2015. We did not manage to do that because we had staff turnover and a lot of other ensuing things going on. But we're behind track, and right now we're starting that workshop. We've had three joint workshops, and we're halfway through those working draft chapters. So we really hope to be having the draft plan together for that public meeting in June. But that's where we're at right now. And what I'm going to go into is the information, because you're going to want to know when we're having these workshops, because all of you would be so welcome to come and sit and listen to the dialogue and the presentation about what this particular chapter is about. And then you're going to want to know when we have these open house meetings. So there's a flyer, and if somebody didn't pick one up, this is the last one I see after this meeting. Make sure that I get your contact information so I can send you one. So this just tells you the calendar on the city's website, what that link is, how to email planning commissioners, and their comprehensive plan webpage that the city has. So there's links on that one. I've got business cards here with my email, and I welcome anybody calling or emailing me. Also, if you're so inclined, it's great if I'm building a contact email list. So give me your name and email address or mailing address, and then I can make sure that you get notice when things are coming up. And then finally, there's a public participation pamphlet here that please take one, and it explains kind of what I talked about, the process for the hearings and that sort of thing. So that is, in a nutshell, the comprehensive plan update, our process. Did anybody have questions for me? Please.
My name is Bill Bryant, and I live at 25100 Roberts Drive. And I've lived here my whole life. That's in Black Diamond proper. And what I want to know is, Are the people going to have any say on the input of the plan, or is somebody just going to dream up what the state or the county wants and say, well, we have to go this way, and if there's little changes, are they going to be able to change them to fit our needs? Because I planned on retiring here, and I don't want to retire in the middle of the city, okay? And right now I kind of am in the middle of the city, even though I have a little bit of property down here on Roberts Drive. And how much say are we going to have in this? And how many people are going to have this say?
That's a great question. Did everybody hear the question? So really, how much say is the public going to have in your plan, your city's plan? Yes, it's true. We have to do certain things that the state law tells us we're going to do in the comp plan. And so there are some things that we may not be able to change, but where there's local deference, and there are lots of areas where the local people can and should have a say in what their plan looks like, we're going to make sure that that happens on our end. And so that's why I'm encouraging you all to send emails, show up to these meetings, and make sure that that happens. Anybody else? So I gave you a sheet. You know, you could really grill me now. This is your chance to really grill me. Nobody's taking me up on it, huh?
Okay.
Okay, grill me.
It's not really a grill, but have you been able to get a schedule together yet, like a timeline schedule for, say, like the next 6 months or up until when it's due time? Or?
It's very, very loose. Okay. And, you know, I published that one schedule, and we didn't meet it. So right now I am one of the – We have a schedule in that every month we have these workshops going. So we do have a schedule we could put there. And at the end of that, which would be June, is when we'd have that open house. One of the things that I'm working on right now is getting the transportation element part intact. And that takes time and it takes expertise.
That's a big one, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess – it's very loose, the schedule, and but we'll sure be trying to nail it down a little better.
All right, thanks.
So for this next part, I handed out a sheet because we really do want to hear what you have to say. And right now, these are very they're still questions on this sheet that are about trying to define a little more closely the language that we're using in this introduction and in the vision statement, because we do need to know. I'm sure every single one of you probably has a different answer for these questions. And what we need to hear is as many of those as possible to meld them and to make sure that going forward we're as close to consensus as we can be in terms of starting to look at specific goals and policies in this plan. So what I would invite you to do is answer the questions if you feel comfortable or if you have something to say about any of them. Either you can say it, you know, on the microphone, or write a note on this piece of paper and give it to me, or send me an email if you want to go home and think about it. But this is sort of the starting point of, like Dave said, drilling down into, okay, we said Black Diamond is active and beautiful. And that sounds lovely, and I think that it is. But what we need to know is in what ways are people active? And what do people think is beautiful? Individual answers. So does anybody want to share any of that with me tonight?
Okay.
George McPherson. One of the things that we had one time, and we still have, is acronyms. And one of them is BDUGA, Black Diamond Urban Growth Agreement. And I think, I'm not sure everyone really understands that, what it is and what it's all about and what it means. I know that, you know, a big issue here in this community is development. And how big is that going to be and what impact is that going to have? And how does that coincide with the BDUGA issue?
So the BDUGA question, and Mr. McPherson's, how does that all work with the development and the impact and the size? And the BDUGAs, and then another acronym you'll see is the PAW, the Planning Potential Annexation Area. That relates back to the King County framework, planning framework. So when counties were and are still charged with looking at land in conjunction with the city's extraterritorial outside of the municipal boundaries that we have now, the whole idea is trying to figure out where these cities would grow to take on more growth. So the whole concept is that growth is going to occur because population is growing. And so where will those people go? Where will they live? And so the urban growth area, the BDUGA, this the Black Diamond BDUGA came about from a lot of there's tons of boxes and paperwork, actually, but a lot of negotiation about how big of an area do the cities in King County need. And Black Diamond ended up with an enormous growth expansion area, unprecedented in my mind. I mean, I've worked counties in Washington State for quite a while, and I've usually been on the county end with the cities asking me to expand their urban growth area boundaries. And it's very difficult to do under the state law. So Black Diamond has this huge urban growth area boundary that was part of that negotiation with King County many years ago. And in that, there are designated these PAWs. So those are the areas that first, so it's a sequential thing. Black Diamond, when you need more land, you're going to annex these PAWs. If you need more urban area because the growth continues, then you would actually annex or petition to annex land in that urban growth area. Does that explain it? Anybody else? Good. Oh, good.
If you have this great growth, like what you're planning on, what's going to happen to my taxes?
Well, I am not a county assessor. So that growth, that population growth, that's a challenge because the state recognizes that the population is expanding and has been expanding, and they're statewide anticipating all these extra people that are going to live in the state of Washington. And so the expectation is that counties and cities are going to work it out to figure out where those people are going to be located. One of the things that the Puget Sound Regional Council, PSRC, is doing is trying to well, first of all, let me back up. The Growth Management Act itself really drew very distinct boundaries between urban and rural areas. So cities and their urban growth areas are considered urban, and that is where the population is supposed to go. And in fact, outside of those urban areas and the rural areas that are so designated under the Growth Management Act regulations, cities may not extend what's called urban public services. You cannot extend sewer out into these rural areas. So then you've got all of your designating and saving farmland and forest resource land. That all happens in the rural areas to keep them rural. So the flip side of that coin is there's an expectation that cities will take growth. And that's not something that I don't think, you know, it's probably not a real popular sentiment in small towns anywhere that I've worked. But
I actually have my own microphone. I just want to answer Mr. Bryant's question about his water bill. Just for the record, people like me that are on Covington Water pay more than you do for my water. And also, the Black Diamond Water System is spread among 800 or 850 homes. As we get more homes coming in here, the cost of the water will be then peanut butter spread amongst a higher population of homes. And I'm not saying your water rate's going to go down, but it may not go up, because it'll be spread over a higher population of households.
Stormwater too? The question is, will stormwater be spread out more too?
Well,
I mean, stormwater
is a state mandated, unfunded mandate to cities. And I would assume, I don't know, Mayor, maybe you have the answer to that one, but as the stormwater is coming, like in the villages and stuff, those folks are going to be paying the same amount that all the rest of us pay.
But those rates will probably not go down, because we'll have more infrastructure to have to serve. So those rates will probably stay the same, because we'll have more infrastructure to serve, and it will cost the city more money to serve that infrastructure.
Okay. I don't know. I haven't got that much yet, Mr. Boss. The stormwater, or the sewer, I guess it is. I never looked at the bill, but my wife just pays it. But with the county and the city, I guess, together, I think it's like $65 or $70 just for those two. And that seems like an awful lot of money for that, being that there's so many people paying on it. Okay? Yeah, so we have to be, what should I say, like you're in business for yourself, we have to be a penny pincher. Okay?
Can I respond to the sewer issue also?
Sure.
Because most of the rate for the folks that are on Black Diamond Sewer, that's a pass-through charge from Metro. And so there is an additional fee that the city charges just to be able to manage that process. But the bulk of that is just the hookups and maintaining the Metro out of King County.
Judy wanted to speak.
Oh, sorry.
Judy Goodman, Black Diamond. In looking ahead, is the comprehensive plan 20 years hence? Okay. So demographically, my generation is the big blip on the demographic scale, and there are just going to be a whole lot of us retiring, getting old, needing services.
Mm-hmm.
The need for retirement residences, transportation for elderly people, medical interventions for people. We need to have access to those things. So, and I think we already do have a sizable senior population in Black Diamond. So I think as you consider the comprehensive plan, that population, I'm not really selfish. I really want a community that has all different ages. And I know we have to spend a lot of time and thought on to take care of our children, but that elder population needs to be considered as well.
It really does. Thank you. And the housing, housing diversity needs to be considered also, whether or not we're going to try to figure out how people can age in place. That's one area. How do they get to have, are we going to allow a little more flexibility in that aging in place in our land use regulations so that people as they age, they can have caregivers, have homes on the, that's the sort of thing we do have to, right. Did you have a question?
No. In regard to things like the hospital or anything like that, or retirement and stuff like that, are you saying you like an area zoned for hospitals, like all the UW Medical Center in Maple Valley, or all those medical centers in Covington? Is that something you would like to see here in Black Diamond?
Yeah, that was a really good comment. I didn't get my walk in at lunch, so this is good.
Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. As far as the aging in place, and it isn't really part of the comp plan, but it is something to consider, is some of the elderly need some remodeling done in their homes to accommodate a wheelchair or walkers or scooters, things like that. The city would probably do well to consider a modified permit fee for the elderly that may be on a fixed income but need some sort of fixes in their home so they can age in place.
We do need to check the building codes to make sure that we're not doing something that is a barrier to, because we do that in our regulations.
I guess the plus side, if we do get a clinic, if it's Valley, then we'll just about automatically get one from MultiCare, too, because they're pretty highly competitive, so we may end up with two clinics. Who knows?
Yeah, but some of us would like Virginia Mason or Swedish, too.
Yes.
And it's a long drive to Seattle. Yeah.
And walkability, then, is another thing, too. Do we want to try to look at a land use development pattern that's more compact, so that you've got walkability, access to places if you aren't driving or.
Do you mind if I do this one?
I just wanted to add to what you were saying before about the building codes regarding people as they age, because I know that in this town, there are many, many historical landmarks. A lot of the cottages and the homes in Black Diamond are old, and it's very difficult to upgrade some of these buildings because of their age. People really run into some snafus with building permits, and so I think that's something that, in our case, we may need some really special attention on this, because little old ladies can't, they can't afford to deal with all the special conditions when it comes to remodeling a historical landmark. It breaks people. So that's been a problem in the past for many people in this town.
Rock?
Elderly, there's also room for kids, too. So there's things that kids need, and then homeless as well. Make sure we have something in the plan to deal with homeless.
Housing affordability is something that jumped out in the demographics. We thought of the problem with affordable housing for all income levels.
That's required, isn't it? Affordable housing for...
Yeah.
One thing I was thinking about, you're talking transportation and people on fixed incomes and stuff getting around. One thing I noticed in my travels, let's see, one place was Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Another was the Ketchum Sun Valley area in Idaho. They have their own little city buses that don't charge anything. They're all, of course, funded by taxes, but you can get on and off the bus anytime. It doesn't, you don't have to have any money to do that. And they just run all around the town and pick people up and drop people off, and it's a really nice little feature.
And there are these retirement communities, and one that comes to mind is in Lacey called Panorama Village. Huge, but they have their own buses too. Yeah. Yeah.
Bill Bryan again. I know you probably don't have any control over this, but you should have a tax credit for seniors.
Nice. Kristen Bryant, if I had a dollar for every time I heard you try to save money on your taxes or your bills, I wouldn't have as much money as all the times I've heard other people in Black Diamond complain about their stormwater bill. And that's a lot. Before we got too far away from stormwater, I just wanted to comment, and I'll probably send in comments more specifically. One of the reasons that we have the stormwater mandate and everyone in the county has to pay that tax is because past development way back when Black Diamond began was unregulated, and then past when they started regulating stormwater, its past development has, not done enough. We have a lot of examples just in town of stormwater runoff situations and ponds that you can clearly see when they were built, they weren't designed well enough or to hold enough water, and we're getting more and more flooding, it seems, going forward. You know, the 100-year flood that we may have on record is likely to occur more often than every 100 years in the future. We know a lot more about stormwater now from a scientific perspective, from research universities and, things like that. So, my plug would be for the comp plan to really look at going above and beyond in that kind of that area, because eventually, if people ever do want to see those stormwater rates go down, we have to do development right going forward.
Yeah, that's another good comment. So I haven't heard anybody tell me how they're active or what they think is beautiful about Black Diamond, but what do you think about small town character? That's something that We've got the verbiage in our plan that, we want to retain, and I've heard it over and over again talking to people. We want to retain our small town character, but the Planning Commission and the council members at a workshop, we struggled with what does that mean? What are people really telling us? We want to do that, but we need to know more about what that needs to look like. Anybody have any comments on small town character?
Really simple. Small town character is not a big box store. It's not large. Your Walmarts in our cities. That's not the reflection that our vision statement says. I don't see corporate stuff here. That's what I define it as.
Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? Where?
Tammy.
I'm back.
Oh,
here.
Gosh.
She's behind your board.
Okay. Oh, you've got a mic. Okay. Yeah.
So I think for me, I'm a third generation here in Black Diamond, and small town character for me is walkable. You still got your old town. You're still able to move around the city, get around. I mean, even Maple Valley considers them a small town. So small city, small town, however you want to categorize it. But I think it's just being able to move around. And you get out and you know your neighbors. I know, when I was a kid, neighbors knew everybody. And then generations have moved out, new people have moved in, and people kind of just stay in their own little bubble, and they don't really get out and talk to your neighbors. So to me, a small town character is getting to know your neighbors, getting out, getting involved, walking your neighborhood in Morgan Creek. You know, that's a great neighborhood. It was developed by a developer that moved in, that came in and developed that. So, you know, you've got that walkable space up there. So I think it's just, you know, getting sidewalks in to connect up there, to bring you down here to Black, to the main core of Black Diamond. I think that's what, for me at least, as a third generation here, is being able to know your neighbors, you know, watch out for everybody, walk around, and have a safe area to live.
I think this might go beyond small town, but we have a lot of sort of old-fashioned atmosphere here, like, and it's sort of been stylized in the old town area, like by the bakery and so forth, which is a nice touch because it's modern and still gives the atmosphere. And then, but there are a lot of unique architecture and buildings around. Well, architecture maybe isn't the word, but unique structures, shall I say, that you don't see anywhere else. It's not your typical thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is a very good comment because, again, it goes back to making sure that those architecture, those features, those assets aren't forced to change with upgrades, building code that's requiring things that aren't going to be consistent and keep that important character that the city has. And then the other thing that I think is with that is design standards. The city adopted design standards, I think, several years ago, 2009 or something. But we haven't really implemented them, and I think that may be a way to look at that a little closer.
Let's see, you mentioned you know, big box stores and stuff like that, but what about, McDonald's, 24-hour McDonald's, 7-Elevens? I mean, they're not big box stores. Is that the kind of thing you want to see lining State Route 169?
No, we have that already. We have go down the Maple Valley.
Okay. Let's see. So, what would you define Black Diamond as? Something rural, like the town of Winthrop. Something like Eatonville, because Maple Valley considers themselves a small rural town, but. Mm-hmm. Would you consider that look more of a suburban town?
You know, I think that it's, you know, our separation from Maple Valley and Unicron really sets us apart. We're a medical community. We're a place to come to. There's lots of bike trails here that you can't find anywhere else. If you start to pour concrete and make that 169 a complete resident connected to Maple Valley, Black Diamond is destroyed. It's just an extension of Maple Valley. It's just an extension of Covington. Then there is no Black Diamond. It's just urban sprawl. And I think that's what we need to avoid, because our Black Diamond business statement is a wonderful piece. Sounds wonderful, but if you dig down into the comprehensive plan and you read every one of the chapters, none of them reflect back to the vision. It is like it's an incongruent piece of work that doesn't match the vision, because the vision is great, but the whole rest of the plan doesn't match the vision.
Yes. Yes, it is.
That's one of the things that I think has to do with the area of getting around, people being on every walk, and also think about animals coming through the area, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So we did have that in mind. I want to make a similar comment to George about maintaining open space, maintaining 50% of open space, and really doing it without some of the gimmicks that I've seen there. A retention pond that's counted as open space. I mean the kind of open space where my wife can hike, my wife can bicycle, and all the good things that my wife likes to do that I'm not
Yeah, like kayaking too.
Yeah.
Sound like it was on.
Can you hear us?
I can hear.
Yeah, I can hear, but that doesn't mean it's not recording, though, so we won't hear it on the recording. Okay.
I'd like to know if people here have examples of other cities or other towns in the state of Washington that they would consider meeting with, being what we would like.
I think it got turned off somehow. Passing it around. You can't hit the lock at the top.
Oh, I bet I did.
Winthrop's another town that has a kind of theme to it.
Leavenworth.
I brought that kind of thing up about a gimmick for getting tourists in, because I think that's the best kind of money is other people's money. And a little town like Langley on Whidbey Island is a great example. They've got Highway 20 that goes around outside of Langley, and unfortunately we've got 169 kind of going right through the middle. Then you've got the little towns Highway 7, it's I think 161 or something like that going down yeah, in this area. No, going down along the Cascades, going south. Past Eatonville and down to Morton.
LB.
That's not 7. It's east of 7, I think. Anyway, so those little towns along there are, those are nice little towns. Unfortunately, we're too close to the metropolitan area, I think. North Bend, fortunately, got Interstate 90 moved out of downtown. So the downtown of North Bend is, a nice little area. And I believe there is a part of this Puget Sound Regional Council or King County area. There is another dividing line that runs along the regional transit line that divides rural and urban. I remember this from years and years ago. There was a line that I thought was the RTA line. And it defined the urban area and what the county or the Puget Sound region wanted to consider a rural area. And Black Diamond was in the rural area. We've got an urban growth, but, you can have a small city in the urban area. And let's see, I would rather not see stoplights all over the place. I'm not a big fan of traffic circles either, because they don't allow any brakes if you're trying to turn out of your driveway onto the highway. There's never a brake if you've got a traffic circle. Something to keep in mind, along with the little trees along the roadway.
Uh, I grew up in Sumner, and I believe it was a population of about 4,000 when I grew up there. Sumner has retained a lot of the character, a lot of the buildings, downtown dry goods and so forth have turned into antique stores, and they've done actually quite well. It's a destination place for those folks that like to do antiques. They have a nice nursery at one end of town, a tea house, an old home that was made into a tea house restaurant. So I grew up there, and it's like, ew, Sumner, but you know, the people that I know who enjoy those kind of things love Sumner, and it has quite a large population that has grown up around it in Buckley, in the outlying areas, but it has retained a lot of that, yeah, the small town feel. In terms of Black Diamond, we have so many natural resources around here. We have a beautiful park. I think all those things could be managed in terms of selling the city for tourists. The bicycling, obviously, is one of them. The races, the what is it called? The people that do crazy things in the mud during
tough
the summer.
Tough mudder.
and then the other triathlon sort of thing. So, but I would have to say that we don't want big box stores, but we do want a really nice senior center, community center. And unfortunately, those two things are oftentimes mutually exclusive. You know, if you don't have a tax base, you are struggling constantly for things like community centers.
I wanted to bring up the city of Port Townsend. I love to visit that. I didn't grow up there, of course. I did grow up in a very small town, far, far, far away. But Port Townsend really keeps, they've maintained a lot of their old buildings. They did it beautifully. And there are things that occur in that city that are so charming. They have a castle there. They have a downtown core that is just beautifully maintained, and there's a lot of art, a lot of galleries, and it's in the public art there as well. Also, the restaurants and the businesses there kind of reflect that personality. You can see it in the way they serve, and I follow the blogs of the restaurant owners in Port Townsend just because of the descriptions and the colors of what I hear them talking about. I know that, you know, they have a huge advantage of looking out over Puget Sound. We can't do that, but something comes to mind that we have had here in the past and somehow faded away, and that was an awesome resort over on Lake 12. and that's part of our proposed annexation area. I know the trouble, I know it. But, you know, it used to draw a lot of people from all over the place, and I believe up here on the gorge up here, there was also another resort area. So... Yeah.
Well, there's still a resort at Lake Sawyer. I mean, I think it's a privately owned enterprise now. The Sunrise.
Another thing that I really love about small towns and towns with character is, and this is something that we don't have. We don't have our own newspaper. we can't support it, of course. I think there have been brave people who have tried. But when you have your own paper, your own newspaper, you have something that kind of keeps everybody together and informed on the same page. So that's something that I think we are really missing. That and, you know, more definition of what our artistic theme is and what our cultural link is with each other. I think the marketing in that, I think, is going to be very, very important. And especially as new people come here, they are going to look to the existing citizens and the old-timers who have always been here to set the example of what a small town behaves like and how we connect with each other and how we keep our back doors open and you know, hanging out together and community picnics, all of those things that are very, very important. Thank you.
Barb may say something too. You know, you talk about what do we do in this city for recreation? You go to an hour in two different directions and you've got the Cascade Mountains. You can hike, you can ski, you can snowshoe, you can just putz around if you want to, just enjoy the scenery. We have Lake Sawyer. You go out to Lake Sawyer on any given nice day and you've got kayakers, you know, off boating hours, but we've got people that are water skiing and wakeboarding and swimming, and we've got critters in the winter and critters in the summer out there that are not the same. We, a couple of years ago, all followed Craig Goodwin's blog on the eagles, the baby eagles in the nest. Some of us, the mayor and I and some other friends that go walking there in the morning, saw first flight of the baby eagles a couple of years ago. That was really, really tremendous. We've got a lot of those kind of amenities here. You know, what we need to make this a destination is a small motel or hotel so that as people are going to Crystal Mountain, they don't have to stay in Enumclaw. They could stay here. There's enough activities that go on around here that when people have family reunions and those kinds of things, they have no place, or, I mean, morbid funerals. People come from out of town, where do they stay? Kent, Auburn, Renton, someplace else. So I think, you know, as far as outdoor, we've got Palmer Coke and Cole property and King County property that's just on the north side of Palmer Coke and Cole's got 15 miles of trails. I walk on those trails every day. It's amazing. And the different the water features you've got. You've got Ravensdale Creek. You've got Frog Lake that you can go look at. All the different waterfowl and critters that are associated with those areas. It's different in the winter than it is in the summer. So it's just always changing. You know, the horse people love Lake Sawyer Regional Park. And a few years ago, when there was a big effort to make that a more active park, the horse people came here, and that was before I was on the council. They came here, and there were quite a few of them that were testifying that didn't want that park changed. They enjoy taking their horses through all those trails. You know, and there's a place, I think, for ball fields and all of that stuff for the kids, and I can appreciate that. But the areas where people, like the horsemen, that want to go out and ride their horses, those areas are going away. These people don't have a place, or you've got to drive maybe to Eastern Washington now to go exercise your horse, where we have neighbors that would take their horses out.
So I have a question or statement. So it kind of sounds like everybody wants like a destination city. Is that right? So I think, you know, like Janie was saying, you know, you need some hotels, maybe some bed and breakfasts, maybe somebody outlets a bedroom, people to stay in. But I also remind a lot of you guys here that are old-time Black Diamond, just like myself, we had a grocery store. We had a pharmacy. We had a butcher shop. We still have a dentist area. We had, what else did we have?
Drug store.
You know, and so, you know, and it was great. It was a place, you know, so if you're going to be a destination city and you want to cater and help out the elderly, you need some stores. You know, you need that pharmacy so that your citizens can go and maybe walk to the pharmacy to get their drugs, their medicines, because they can't go to Maple Valley or they can't go to Enumclaw. Heck, who wants to go to Covington right now? I mean, it's crazy getting to that city. So you need these places. The Zumiez grocery store, you know, it didn't have everything there, but it certainly had the basic needs that everybody could go up there, grab your, get your things that you needed, and you were happy. You know, you didn't have to go all the way to Maple Valley, which seemed like a long drive. There wasn't as much businesses built up back then. But, you know, so I just want, you know, some new people to understand we did have these things here. And when I think somebody out here also stated that, Mr. Bryant, that you need to go to these restaurants and these stores to keep them here. So, yes, you do. But you also need to draw people into the city to shop at those places so you get that tax. If you don't have people living here, of the 1,500, you know, people living here to shop at these places, you got to draw people in here to do it. So we need to figure that out. So I'm just saying, you know, don't say, well, we can't have a grocery store here. That's just totally absurd. We have one. We had a pharmacy. So let's just keep you know, open-minded and not shut things out.
My name is Phil Bryant again, and we want to be open-minded, but what kind of incentive are we going to give a small business? We need to have an incentive, and it has to be in dollars, and then you can keep them. But Zumiez went out of business because Safeway moved into Four Corners. That didn't help. And how many people in Black Diamond do you think shop at Safeway?
Well, that's what I'm also saying. You're saying that the citizens, you need to rally. The citizens need to rally and say, dang it, we want these amenities in this town to stay. So we're going to shop at them. We're going to shop at Zumiez. We're going to shop at the bakery.
But how are you going to get them to come unless you give them some sort of incentive? How are you going to get them to do it?
No. Well, what I'm just saying is that we're talking about how could we have kept Zumiez?
Yeah.
It's not to go to Maple Valley and shop. As citizens, to stay here.
Yeah.
I shopped at Safeway when they came. I'm sure you did, too.
Yeah, that's my wife's favorite store.
So I'm just saying, so we are all to blame for Zumiez's demise, but we have to shop here. I get my car repaired right here in town. That's the only place it goes. So, you know,
you're loyal. You're loyal.
So I think that, you know, all citizens need to be loyal to what they have here, to know that your tax dollars are staying right here in your city, and they're helping your government and your roads and everything.
Let me ask you a question then. I don't seem to get the answer. Is there any way that the city council or the city mayor or any part of the city can give an incentive to these people to come to this town? And not just a few pennies. I mean, it's got to be quite a bit. Like Boeing, they don't pay any taxes on all the airplanes they sell to Renton. That they sell out of Renton, they're exempt. See? There's a lot of taxes that they're exempt on.
Yeah, I don't want to go with Boeing because I have a lot to say about Boeing.
Well,
they provide a paycheck, Tammy.
I know.
If the city of Renton can do that somehow, or if Boeing is strong enough to do it somehow, aren't we strong enough to do something like that?
Well, Bill, I would like to point out one thing is we had a B&O tax. people still don't know that we don't have a B&O tax. We haven't had one since 2008. And that council got rid of the B&O tax because it was discouraging business. That is an incentive to keep businesses in town because most cities have a B&O tax, and we do not. Well, it depends on what the percentage is. I don't know. It could be 3%. I don't know what ours was. I never paid any attention to it until people started complaining when I was on council and found out we didn't have one, and they were complaining our B&O tax was too high. So. Well, probably not.
Myra Hoke again. Okay, I worked at the bakery for 3 years with Moon and on both sides, on the restaurant side and on the bakery side with the cupcakes and the happy days. I have to say that well over half of the business, probably up to 75% of the business, and I talked to the owner about this. We kind of did a loose study of who our customer base was. 75% of the business from the bakery comes from out of town, mm-hmm. if not more. Local businesses here are underutilized by the local population. The ones that really do well are more of a destination business like the bakery, or they happen to be on the highway and they're right on the corridor between Enumclaw and Maple Valley. That is really tough for some of the businesses that are off of the main area. And not only that, our business is fragmented in this city. We don't have a business core. We have a few over here and a few over there and a few over there. And so you don't have that critical mass that makes it downtown so that people don't make us a destination. I mean, if you have a list of, you know, the dry cleaners and your prescriptions and your groceries, you know, you want to go park your car in one place and get it done. But in Black Diamond, you have to go all around the place. You have to work really hard sometimes to do business here. And people around here, the business owners, and I see this from the chamber as well, my work on the chamber, and that is, it's really, you have to work pretty hard to stay in business here if you're a small business because you probably don't have a storefront. And if you do, it's not in a critical area, and there just aren't enough people. That is why the grocery store went away and the hotels went away. There just weren't enough people. And talk to the bakery. Talk to the owner there. Talk to the restaurant owners around here. They just don't have enough customers. People don't stop in Black Diamond. They drive through.
So we have to figure out how to make them stop, right?
I personally was involved in the creation of Woodinville and Federal Way and Newcastle and Sammamish and Maple Valley and Covington. And the Seattle Times calls them Drudowskyvilles. And I've been involved with small towns all around the state. And they all want Mayberry, but they get Covington. And the reason for that is because they're suckered in to think to a vision about what they want. They want more this, they want more this, they want more this, they want this, they want this, they want this. But they don't put into place the policies and the regulations that actually achieves what they're after. One very simple tool, if you want to have every town I know, Tammy, wants to have a Trader Joe's. And Trader Joe's is pretty picky. And But through your land use authority, you can do an enormous amount, not just with your design standards, but also with your the lot coverage, some of the issues about lot coverage. And the sweet spot is to be below the threshold where the big box stores decide we're going to get in there. You stay out of their business plan, and you can keep your local business. And most cities don't know how to do that, or they don't do it, or they don't have the will to do it. Or what they do is they get fed a line by somebody with a big piece of property, and when it's too late, they realize, oh, my gosh, that's not what we had in mind. So beware of your vision. It can turn on you, and that's a struggle.
See, unfortunately, I've got to take off. There's an event at the high school. But let's see. I think Ms. Goodwin brought up the community center, and I'd just like to throw in a little pitch for the community center. They desperately could use help financially from everybody. I support the local community center because they do a lot of great things around here for everybody, and they don't get any tax dollars, so they need all the help we can give them. So drop by, see Cheryl, give her a couple dollars or a box of tuna fish, and that'd be much appreciated.
Thanks for all the input, Dave. So this has been a really good discussion. I don't know. What do we do here? We just keep going until we drop?
I'm probably not too far off from that. But
you can wrap it up.
I don't know. Does anybody else? I mean, we got down to these three. We were really touching on a lot of those areas about the opportunities and the assets. And I didn't hear too much. We need to look at our constraints, too, because –
thing about a small town is I think about all the trees and vegetation and the wild animals and the streams, and we have lakes, not just Lake Sawyer, but lots of lakes.
Yeah. I had somebody tell me that, and I hope that this doesn't offend anybody that likes Enumclaw, but they were telling me how ugly it is in Enumclaw, and then you go over the river, and it's just beautiful in Black Diamond, and I would have to agree with them.
End the meeting at 8:30, otherwise I won't get my dinner in Los Cabos.
Good plan.
Good. Two things. Everything I've seen, both with the City of Black Diamond and with other regional governments, assumes more economic development, and not just retail, manufacturing, light manufacturing, whatever, then seems reasonable for this area given its history. And also given that the state of Washington has been quite clear, they're not going to do anything about the problems on Highway 169 for at least 25 to 30 years. There's too many other places that are needing it more in their point of view. And the other thing, again, it was mentioned, open space. We've got to accept that Black Diamond is supernaturally wet. And there's just some areas that we shouldn't try to do anything. Thank you.
That's a great comment, Gary. Thank you.
It's not on any of this. So before we wrap up, I just want to let people know that on Monday, March 14th at 6:30 p.m. at the Black Diamond Elementary School Library, they will be talking, having a presentation about what will the new school look like. When will construction start, and when will it be ready? Where will the contractor access the site and have the material laid down? Where will they put all that? Safety, noise mitigation, security precautions during the construction. So if you can't attend, you're encouraged to contact Tim Madden at the Enumclaw School District. He is the Director of Business of Operations, and his phone number is 360-802-6000. 7107. So I encourage everybody here, you know, that has, you know, we pay taxes for the school district, you know, where this new school is coming up. I encourage everybody to attend the Black Diamond Elementary School meeting on Monday, and I will be there as well.
Well, I'm going to, unless anybody else has anything else to say, I think I'll just go sit down and let this meeting get closed.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Meeting adjourned.